Thanks. Okay, so here we go. New month. New theme. Yay. All right, so the theme for the month and my talk for today is the courage to choose. And so this month we're looking at the spiritual concept of freedom, obviously, right? July, freedom, yay. And how we embody it and how we can allow that to be our true experience in life. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like we're really free, does it? No? Just me? No? You all feel free as a bird? Yeah? Okay, well. All right, good. Okay, well, I could have John come back and sing. No. So one of the basic main ways that we can experience freedom in our life is by stepping up and choosing our life. It's by choosing our experience. It's by engaging in that experience of choice, right? And so the book that we're using this month is one of my favorites, and it's one that I swear it changes when I put it back on my shelf. Like every time I pick it up, somebody is rewriting it, right? Like, because it's a completely different book. And so this is The Power of Decision by Raymond Charles Barker, who was a famous religious scientist, a minister who had a huge congregation in Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City for years. And this is one of his great works. And what he tries to remind us is that that great teaching from Jesus is that you will know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Now, what is the truth? What is the truth that we need to know to set us free? That's the question of the ages, right? Well, it's to know thyself. It's to know the truth of who you are. It's to know yourself as your true being in your fullness and your magnificence as that divine creation. And when you can know yourself that way, then you are no longer held back by any of those limitations and false beliefs that we hold about ourselves, those stories that we tell about ourselves and about what's happened to us and why we are the way we are and all of that. All of that becomes irrelevant because we step into the power, the creative force that we are. We are connected to this infinite divine presence of God. So intimately, we are its life. There is no God up on a cloud that we need to try and please or we need to try and not piss off, right? That's kind of how most people live their lives. They just don't want to piss God off, like tiptoeing through our lives. Maybe God won't realize, you know, that I'm on the borderline, you know? No, that's how so many people live, but that's not what we're talking about. There is such a deep, complete connection to the infinite one that your life is God's life. And if I just say that for, you know, every Sunday for 20 minutes, maybe we'll get it, do you think? Because what's happening, well, maybe we won't. If I just say that for 20 minutes, it's not going to work. Because what happens is that we can understand it, we can realize that, we can talk about the philosophy and see how the creative process happens and that we're part of it and that my life has to be part of the God's life because God created everything. Well, that's fine, but are you living that way? Are you living as if you are the divine emanation? Are you making your choices, your decisions in life, as if you can't fail? Are you connecting to that deep receptacle of knowledge and wisdom that is the knowledge of the ages, that the one mind holds that is available to us as being part of that one mind? Are you connecting to that to see through the illusions of this world? We're not all living that way, are we? So that my goal is for us to step into that place of realizing on a deeper level who we truly are, and that's what's going to free us. When we start to realize that we can't lose, when we start to realize that we are supported more than we've ever thought we could be, then the decisions that we made are of a different quality. The choices that we make, the decisions that we make, stepping into speaking our word has power to it. And I am saying this as a recovering Gemini and a person who cannot make up her mind one way or the other about anything, including my poor husband who has to go to dinner with me all the time. Never mind by the time, if we can get to the restaurant and I decide what it is that I want to eat and we actually get to the restaurant, that's like 50% of a win, right? That's half the battle. So I understand what it's like. Between being, I'll just share my personal part of this, between being a Gemini and then being the fourth child of a family, right? Did I ever get to choose what I wanted first? Never. Did I ever buy new clothes until I was 18? No. I had hand-me-downs. I everything else, everybody else's sloughed off choices, you know. When they actually bought me something new, it was like a really huge deal, you know. I got my 13th birthday, I got a volleyball, a basketball, a softball mitt. I think they were trying to tell me something. It was time to get into sports. That was the new stuff. I got new things, right? But so between those two things, it's not always the easiest for me to make some decisions. Sometimes it hasn't been my habit of coming up in my life of being really decisive. I want that, right? Oh, don't put me in a candy store. Seize candy, man. I'm in trouble. Oh, I'm in trouble if we go in there. But what I have learned by living this philosophy for over the last couple of decades is that you need to be clear about what you want. You need to be able to choose it. You need to be able to be decisive. You need to use your word with power. We need to be able to stand up for ourselves and be in the presence that we are, to be able to be clear about what's right for us. But I don't know about you, but what happens to me is I start thinking, okay, well, if I choose this and then I get that, then this is going to happen and someone's going to be mad and this is going to happen and I don't want that. And so I think too far down the road and talk myself out of wanting anything, right? Anybody? Okay, good. I just want to make sure you're on the same path with me, because I could go a different direction if we need to talk about something else, right? But what happens then is that then we start sending mixed messages out to the universe, and then all we get is a big mishmash of an experience. We can think ourselves into trouble. That's the truth, is we can think ourselves into trouble, but you can't choose yourself into trouble. Because every choice that you make is going to take you a little further down your path where you'll have an opportunity to make another choice. This is how freedom is experienced in our lives. This is how we connect to that divine presence of freedom. So the idea is that it begins with the concept that this is an intelligent universe. And if you spend any time in nature and you spend any time studying science and you spend any time just looking around you, basically, this is an amazingly intelligent universe that we live in. From the most minute particle to the infinite cosmos, there is a divine order to things. There's a beauty. There's a perfection. There's a balance and homeostasis. And we're all part of it, right? And so when we can remember that, we start to realize that we are part of this creation. That which created all of life created you. It created you, it created me, it created everything. And so we have to belong. So often we carry this belief that we don't belong in this world, in this life, and who knows where it comes from. But that's the false idea. You are crucial and critical to this life at this time, the whole grand scheme of things. You are a divine idea in the mind of God that has been made manifest, and you're part of this. So we have to start from that. You're part of the perfection of life. We have to start from embodying that and realizing that. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to walk around really high on ourselves, you know, have a whole new whole new YouTube star. I am the divine perfection of life, right? All of those, what do they call them, influencers? I'm learning about influencers online. But so we could be spiritual influencers, you know? But it's not that I'm higher than you are, you know what I mean? It's just that you're as integral to life and you are a divine emanation just as I am, just as the person sitting next to you is. That we are all that important contribution to life, and every single being and everything that exists is part of this divine wholeness. We need to start from that understanding that there's nothing out of place. There's nothing out of place in this universe, and there's nothing out of place in your experience. So the idea is that as part of this, that we have a part to play in it, right? That we have a part to, that we are co-creators with the divine. That's part of our religious science philosophy, the science of mind, that it says that we co-create with spirit. When we are speaking our word, when we are stepping into our knowing, when we are allowing this divine life to be lived as us, we are co-creating. So it's not like we're out on the ocean with a rudderless boat. Or my image this week, I'll admit, my image this week was we're not participants in the American Ninja Warrior thing where we don't know what's coming, right? Like we're not running down a thing and getting banged by stuff and having the roller roll. Have you seen that? It's hilarious, you know? It's kind of funny to watch people trying to run and bang and all of that. It's kind of silly, you know, my guilty pleasures these days. But that's not what our life is like, because we know what we're doing. We are participating in it. We are leaning in and choosing it, whether we want to admit that or not. And that's a really hard thing to admit when we have gone through challenges. It's a really difficult thing to embrace and to understand that we did have a part to play in those difficulties. We have we're not to blame for it, but we have a part to play in it, and that's a double-edged sword on it, or it's a blessing and a curse, because as I've said over and over again, and I will continue to say, that we are never stuck in one area, we're never stuck in one situation, we're never stuck in a circumstance that we can't get out of, because we get to choose again. We get to take the experience and then the wisdom and the information that we've gained out of the challenges that we've had in our lives, and we can choose differently, right? Because at some point you're going to rise up and say, you know what, enough of this abuse, I'm not taking it anymore. I am worth more than this. I am worth more than this abuse at work. I am worth more than this abuse in this relationship. I am worth more than this. And I have seen people over and over again just get to the point where they say enough is enough and rise. It's almost as if, you know, have you ever watched bread rise? It's almost as if someone just rises from the inside into their power and says, no, this is not who I am. And they choose again. We get to choose again. But the curse of this is, so the blessing and the curse of the fact that we are co-creators to our life is that you can't blame anybody else anymore. That we can't wallow in blame. We can't say this is because of this situation or this boss or this person or this economy or whatever the experience is on the outside. You can't blame it because it doesn't have any power. We have to take responsibility. If there's something you don't like in your life, you got to change it. You got to make a different choice. And we can't forever hold on to blame for what happened to us in our youth and what happened to us before and all the different things that we've gone through. You can't hold on to blame and step into freedom. Those are two things that the wires don't cross. You can't do it. So if you are holding on to blame for your parents or a situation that happened or whatever from your past, if you cannot let that go, you are not going to be able to step into your creative power and bring forth something new. You can't have a foot in both worlds. It won't work. That's what gets in our way of our creative endeavors and our experience. And so that's the most important thing to look at. If there's someone that you're blaming, if there's some situation that you just can't get over, that's the work to be done. That's what needs to be addressed. Right? That's what needs to be looked at and healed and let go of so that you can fully step into your creative presence and your creative power. You can choose stronger. Because when we send mixed messages to the universe, remember, we get mixed messages back. So if I kind of think I'm empowered a little bit, I kind of think maybe I deserve to have, maybe this is, you know what, you're going to get a half creation. When you can step fully into your knowing and your truth and your power and you speak your word from there, that's how it works. But we're the ones that put the filters in. We're the ones who put the limitations on it. We're the ones who hold ourselves back because we can't just allow ourselves to be the truth of who we are. That story that we've been told, either by the world or by our parents or by a teacher or whatever, that stuck. You know the story I'm talking about, the one that you're telling yourself in the back of your head, even as you're sitting here listening to me say that you are the powerful creator of your life, that story is still telling you, she's not talking about you. Yeah. Don't think I don't hear it, because I do. That means everybody else except for you, because you're broken, because you're flawed. I think sometimes those voices in our head are the meanest things we've ever heard in our lives. I think that sometimes in our minds are the most unsafe places that we could ever be. And that, we need to let that go. I totally almost just swore. We need to let that go. Because that's how important I think this is that you need to let that go. We need to recognize that that voice is not the truth of who you are. That voice is not supporting you. That voice is there to keep you small. And you have not come here to be small. You have not come here to live a small life. So one of the things that Raymond Charles Barker explains in the book brought some illumination the first time I read it to a teaching that has been pretty common in the science of mind for a long time. It's not that I didn't understand it. I understand it. I just didn't resonate with it. And so there's a teaching that they talk about where when there's something that happens in your life that you don't like it, and you don't like it, right, you need to turn away from the condition. Okay, you need to turn away from the condition. Anybody who's been here for any period of time has heard that, correct? Give me a nod. Okay. So, and actually some teachers do an exercise where, like, you got two chairs and you're sitting there facing your condition and you have to literally turn around, away from it. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, I didn't and I've been in this for 22 years. I don't know. What does that mean? I don't get it. And because this is my take on it. If there's a bear, right? So if there's a bear in front of me, I'm not going to turn away from the condition. Well, maybe I might be running, you know, and I know you're not supposed to do that, so maybe I might turn around and run, but right, like, I'm not going to pretend it's not there. There's no possible way that I can pretend that it's not there. If there's something, or if there's a fire in my house, I'm not going to turn around and say, yeah, there's no fire. See, I don't see it. I don't smell it. It's not there, right? So I never understood that. But so this is what Raymond Charles Barker says about this that brought new light to me, so I thought I'd share it with you. He says this: an unintelligent use of mind can only produce an unintelligent result, right? He said, you do not blame the sun for the shadow. The sun is not causing the shadow. An object or person blocking the sun causes the shadow. The shadow is the result of an obstruction. Your problem is the result of an obstruction in your own thinking. You are not letting life flow through you in the way life really works. Divine intelligence has never created a problem for any of its creations. Like the sun, it is forever itself, forever giving of itself, and unaware of the misuse that we are making of this great gift. Standing with your back to the sun, you can watch your shadow, right? Get the picture of that? Standing with your back to the sun, you can look and you can watch your shadow. Standing with your face to the sun, you see it not. Not seeing your shadow, it has no existence in your awareness. Therefore, it has no reality in your experience. I don't know about you, but that like felt like I got boinged over the head with the spiritual 2x4. So problems are the shadows created by man when he refuses to face the light of intelligence, and therefore makes wrong decisions and abides in the halls of worry, confusion, and defeat. Okay? So when we are, so the idea is this, is that when we are consumed with worry or fear, when we hold those ideas of limitation, when we think that we're not worthy, that we're unworthy, we're not good enough, what happens is those are the things that cast the shadows. Those are the obstructions to our thinking that cast shadows, and the shadows are the experiences that of our lives. And so what happens when we move? The shadow moves. It shifts, it changes. So any issue in our life is the shadow, and it's changeable and malleable, even if we think it's not. Everything is changeable and malleable. And when we let go of those limitations, when we let go of those things that we hold on to, then the light starts shining. And that's the light of inspiration in our own minds. It's the light of empowerment that rises from the place when we know who we are. And so when we can have a different relationship to the sun, when we can have a different relationship to God, basically, then those things start to shift and change in our lives. But the idea is that so many of us are afraid to make a choice. Many of us are afraid to be decisive. And to choose because we're afraid we're going to choose wrong. And so what ends up happening is we have that mishmash and then of feelings, and then that's the level that we're creating from. It reminds me also of 1 Corinthians. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things. So there's a term that's been going around a lot recently called adulting. Are you familiar with that? Like, when was that? When did that become a thing? Like, adulting. When did that become a thing? I guess because many adults don't adult, right? I think maybe it's because we don't act like adults. I don't know what it is. But what that spoke to me is that it reminded me of when I was. When I first came to California, I lived with my brother and took care of my niece and nephew, who are now like 6 feet tall, both of them, and when they were children, right? And I have this picture of my nephew Sam, who, you know that toddler monster walk when they, like, picture he's got his little snack thing in his hand and it's like a little monster walk, you know, when they go. And he was going through the kitchen, right, to with his snack. He was so proud of himself that he's carrying his own snack, you know, he's a little guy at the time. And he falls into the door jamb, right, and bangs his head in his shoulder. And it's that moment, right? There's this moment of silence when they start to realize what's happened and the breath comes in, you know, before they start screaming when they get hurt. You know how little kids are like that? And he looked at that door and he kicked it. And he banged the door really hard. And I remember going, oh my God, what is he doing? You know, he got mad at the door because he hit it. Right? Like, he got mad at the door because he hit the door and he got hurt because of the door, right? Well, let me tell you, we blame the experience of our life instead of the situation that we're in. The cancer is the door. The job that you're not happy with is the door. The partner that you're unhappy with is the door. The situation, you can't blame the cancer. It doesn't do, and as a cancer survivor, I'll tell you, as an example, you can't battle, they talk about battling cancer, but I don't believe it's battling cancer. I don't battle it. It has nothing, it's the effect. We need to move to the cause. We need to get at the reason why the situation came so that situation could happen. Sammy wasn't solid on his feet, so he banged the door. You can't blame the door for him not being, you know. And so the difference between a childish thing and an adult view of this is that we take responsibility for the part that we play in what we're experiencing. That's where our freedom comes from. I take responsibility for allowing or making the choices or doing what's happened up to this point to get to where I am. But you know what? Right now I'm standing in my power and I'm choosing something different. And in order to do that, I need to get clear about what it is that I want. And so to start, what we do is we let go of those things that we don't want anymore. When you get to the place where you realize that you are done not being respected, then you're going to let go of all the people in your life who don't respect you. When you're clear that you are worth a certain level, you are going to let go of all of those things that people want to devalue you or undervalue you. You let go of those situations. We have to stand up for what we know to be true. And when we do that, things start to shift and things start to change. That's how we actually participate in adulting. We make a choice and then we take responsibility for that choice. We're brave enough to make the choice and then take responsibility for it. That's what being an adult is. That's what putting away childish things is being able to choose and realize that choice has consequences. So if we're choosing out of confusion and we're going to create more confusion, you got to take responsibility for the confusion in your life and do what you need to do to get out of it. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, says, from the science of mind, he says, the whole confusion of this world arises from fundamental errors of thought. Chief among these errors, and the father to the greater part of the others, is a belief in duality. The belief in duality supposes that evil is equal to good, that a suppositional devil divides the kingdom of truth with good. Such things cannot be. Remember the teaching of Moses that God is one. If, on the other hand, we accept that evil has a power equal to good, then we must fall into the ditch of our own confusion. We got to fall into the ditch of our own confusion. If we are believing that there are two powers, that there's something that's out to get us, that there's something that's trying to keep us back, that there's something or someone who is there working against us. It may feel like life is working against us, but what we've realized, and last month we actually talked about, is that your life is trying to tell you something. You got to listen to it differently. Instead of looking at it like a foe, we need to look at it as that part of us that's trying to support our growth and our expansion. Raymond Charles Barker goes on to say that all improvement is dependent upon you seeing yourself as being greater than you are. I'd say that all improvement is dependent upon you seeing yourself as being greater than you think you are. Because you are that great. You are capable. When you start to realize what's possible, then things start to shift. So again, we begin by rejecting those things that we don't want. We begin by clearing out those sense of, that sense of limitation and those things that hold us back. Jesus is teaching about the wine and the wineskins, that no one puts new wine into old wineskins, right? Because if you put it into old wineskins, then it ruins the wine, it breaks the wineskins, so you lose the wine. Who wants to lose the wine? We don't want to lose the wine. It ruins the wineskins, and everybody loses, right? Well, we're talking about a new, the wine in this analogy, by the way, is that new understanding, those new seeds of possibility, that seeds of empowerment that are the truth of who you are. When you start to open to that inspiration of the divine and it starts to speak to you, you can't put it in the old way of being. You can't put it in your old doubtful way of being. You can't continue to worry and to fret over things and have a new inspiration that all is one. See how that doesn't work? Because what's going to happen is that the old way of being is going to ruin our wine. And like I said, that's the last thing we want. We don't want our wine to be ruined. It's this new idea, this new fresh way of being needs to be inspired into our new way of stepping out in the world. So that's the work. The work is to let go of that which no longer serves us and to step into the beingness of the wholeness and the fullness of who you are. This is a teaching that goes beyond all these different philosophies. Jesus said that you cannot gather figs from thistles. Okay, so you cannot create freedom from living a limited life. You cannot gather figs from thistles. Paul called this sowing and reaping. And the Hermetic teachings stated that what goes in must come out, right? Like what you put in there must come out. We teach that. What we put into our mind. So that's why we're encouraged to speak highly of ourselves and of others, to put in inspirational things, to be listening to inspirational music, to be reading that wisdom that inspires us and speaks to us deeply. We need to put those things in so what comes out is our different way of seeing and being in the world. It's an actual process. It's an actual practice. And we can't just think that I can come on Sunday and hear something inspirational and know who I am, and that's great. I'll go back to worrying and complaining tomorrow, right? That doesn't work. So what we're calling for this month is for us to step into the beingness of the empowerment of who you are. I'm calling it being a spiritual warrior. Let's be spiritual warriors. It's a way of being. And so this is what a spiritual warrior is. They create their own good and do not have it created for them by others. They refuse to dodge the alibis induced within their own consciousness. They face themselves, correct their own thought, and create their own heaven on earth. Spiritual warriors have made the decision to be the creative centers of their own experience. They no longer have to blame or censure. They do not believe as others believe. They reverse their thinking and make certain it agrees with the goals of their decisions. They do not waver. And they know. And what they know causes their good to happen. So you are a choice maker. You are a decisive chooser of your life. You have the opportunity and the possibility to create great freedom in your experience. And so what we're going to do this month is each week we're going to look at how we relate to choice in our life, how we use that decision-making process, and in what way we're going to do it. Because my supposition and my desire for each and every one of us is that we stop choosing to live from our limitation, that we stop choosing to live from the story that we've carried, to stop choosing to live from that small, limited place. Because you know what? It's a whole heck of a lot more fun when we choose from our freedom, when we create that joy, that fulfillment, that fullness. All of this, these blessings of God abound around us in nature. You can still look at the world and see that it is teeming with magnificence. And it's yours. And this month we're going to choose it. And so it is.